Welcome, everybody. Glad to see you from NLS. What we're really doing in this panel is to sort of bring updates. They're linked oftentimes to the operations alerts, but we know that it's helpful to hear about them as well as read them, and we know sometimes people are just too busy, and so we're trying to just review them. I always like to talk about the NLS orientation, and we had a very full group in March, but for June, we have canceled that one. However, we are expecting to have an orientation for October 17th through 19th, and also the Friday equipment control workshop. So if you're interested in that, please let me know, because that is filling up quickly. Many of you know that BART Express is now available, and of course for those who have personal computers and who maybe have had difficulty with BARD in the past, and you might think particularly of some of those patrons that are now inactive on BARD, those would be candidates that you may want to contact to alert them that we have BARD Express. So BARD Express is a free Windows-based application that simplifies searching and downloading and transferring audio materials. And the reports that we've gotten is that people are very, very happy to have that simplified way to access BARD. We also do have a number of resources regarding BARD Express that have been developed by our education and training specialist. So if you refer to Operations Alert 1714, it talks about the resources such as getting started on BARD Express and the FAQs for BARD Express and the BARD Express user guide and the step-by-step instructions. So we hope that you will find those useful, and we hope that you'll be sure that your reader advisors know about these resources. Another bit of information from our education and training specialist, that's Paula Bamani, is that NLS has produced a training video for network staff working with the batteries of digital book machines. So that it's called the Introduction to the IQ5 Battery Analyzer, and it is available on the Library of Congress channel on YouTube. So we really encourage you not only to let your staff members know, but also to share it with your volunteer repair groups. It does star our very own equipment repair officer, Kevin Watson, and he explains the setup and the operation of the battery analyzer. Now, in addition, just to remind you, and I guess, again, this is from Operations Alert 1734, a complete list of NLS training videos available on YouTube include The Art of Audiobook Narration, BARD Mobile, How-To Series, How to Make a Digital Talking Book, How to Inspect a Talking Book Machine, and again, the BARD Express ones that we talked about before. I also like to always put a plug in for magazines, because we've been very fortunate to, within the last even year, or maybe even less than that, add some magazines such as Cook's Illustrated and O, the Oprah magazine, and Popular Science. These, of course, are Braille magazines, but they really need to be promoted by network libraries. So we really count on you to get the word out about the magazine program and encourage your patrons to sign up for magazines. Hopefully, everybody is signed up for Talking Book Topics, and certainly we have merged the TBT with the order form, and even though there was a little confusion in that whole event, we think people are getting used to that, so it's really good to get new readers signed up for TBT, just as a matter of form to keep them apprised of the new books that we have. So, Pamela?
Okay. So I have to tell you about my lunch experience, so regardless to what I'm supposed to be doing. I went to lunch with, I'll leave the people nameless because they're not even back yet. So I had to leave the table because someone ordered a bowl of chili. And so the person asked the waitress, "May I have my chili first?" And she said, I'll bring everything out at the same time. And so I said, okay. And so then she said, "Now, do you want me to hold up everyone else's food so I can bring your bowl of chili?" I just thought that was interesting. But I did say, "Well, yes, you should have said, don't bring a thing to this table until I get my chili, and then you can bring the rest of the food." But anyway, interesting lunch, but the food was great. I'll tell you later who it was so you know not to go with him, and if he orders the chili, you know you're in trouble. Okay, so the breath switch has been released. It's a new accessory. We sent out an operations alert. It's operations alert 1717. I'm congested, so I'm not going to read it to you. I'll read some other things, though, okay? But the good thing about the breath switch is it has a, let me find my note. Sorry. Someone sing or do something while I find my note. No. There's a quick start guide, a cartridge and a print copy included with the breath switch when it's issued to patrons. I want you to be reminded that it is a consumable item. So if it shows up at your library after you've issued it, please discard of it properly, because you should not reuse, as with any other thing that someone can blow in or sleep on or whatever the case may be. So Operation 1717, Shauna Osborne is the equipment control officer. There's an application. If you have any issues with it, of course, call your network consultant, but you can also talk with Shauna Osborne. Secondly, and Karen mentioned it briefly, that NLS has a new ad campaign, and we're using three media channels, television, radio, and online mobile. The online mobile ads will start soon, and they're in three forms: a key search ad so that NLS pops up at the top when people are typing in things like talking books, books for the blind, books for low vision, in the search box on Google or anywhere else. So that's a good thing, and that's new for us. Facebook ads, general display ads that appear on other related pages, so that if you go to a website for a screen reader, and for instance, you might see one of our ads on the way there. The television and radio ads will start in the next fiscal year, I believe. They will have a key theme and a multi-generational family enhancement. They will express the diversity of our patronage, and they will be about the solution we provide as opposed to just raising awareness of vision problems. So that's another really good thing. Lastly, I know that you know that we moved, some of us, and I'm going to just be honest and say I was fully prepared to not like the move at all. In fact, I voiced that a couple of times and no one paid me any attention. We still had to move. So we got, each of us that moved on Capitol Hill got six boxes to move. I used three, and we were told we couldn't share the other boxes even if you didn't use them. Those federal government people. But anyway, so I was on travel, but I had my boxes packed up. And when I arrived back from travel, my boxes were waiting for me in the Adams building, because that's where the network division and network services and reference and publications, that's where we're located. And then there's another building. It's the Madison building. So there are several other people. I know administration is there, and others, and Karen comes to visit us every Thursday, so we're on our best behavior on the Hill. And I'm saying that because she just walked back in. So it's exciting being on Capitol Hill. We hope that you'll come and visit us. It's a great adventure, because I didn't want to do is take the Metro in. I'd rather fight the traffic and cuss and fuss on my way in like I normally do, but now all I have to do is go to the metro station and get on and get off on Capitol South and just walk to work. I mean, I'm even getting there at 8 o'clock. I used to mosey in about 9-ish, so now I get there early, and then that means I get to leave early. It's exciting being there. They tell us that we'll be there until... well, the time keeps changing. But after I went back to visit Taylor Street and I saw all of the construction or destruction or whatever it was going on, I was happy that we moved. So, Richard, thank you, because I think he was very insistent upon moving.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's all I have.
I'm Jackie Connor. I manage the Multi-State Center East in Cincinnati, and we work primarily with you, and it's very nice to be at this gathering because we do interact a great deal. The multi-states are actually under contract with the Library of Congress, and we were just awarded our third year, which is option year two. We're a customer-driven service. So the things that I'm just going to share with you today is just an overview of our services. Some of you, you know, use us in different ways, some more than others. So as I go through administration, circulation, duplication, materials management, QA, and currency reader, you know, if you're using us in any of those areas, that's wonderful. If we can help you in areas that you're currently not using us, that would be great. We are very customer service, and we are here to support the network. So thinking about administration, Mike Horn is our administrative assistant. I call him voice of Multi-State Center East. And he's there primarily to interact with Washington and yourselves. He and I are partners. He does a lot as far as circulation. So if you call or email, you know, he will do his best to, you know, provide that service, answer the questions. The most awkward thing, occasionally, you know, we'll get calls and we either don't have the answer or we can't provide the answer and we can't provide the service because we have a particular scope of work that, you know, follows NLS guidelines. So the operations alert answers a lot of the questions now, I think, that network librarians have. It's a great resource to all of us. And if you're calling to, you know, ask for 5,000 barcode labels, we just can't do that. So if we say, well, check with your network liaison, that sometimes means that we just can't, you know, ship you or do something that you would like us to do. So our ace in the hole is the network liaisons. So Mike is also a very talented JAWS user, and we use WebRead. So if you ever have a circumstance with one of your staff or someone, you know, just has a quick JAWS question, you're more than welcome to call Multi-State, and he might be able to help you as well. Circulation is obviously a big function of ours. If you provide a request to us on the web, that book will ship more than likely the next day by lunchtime. So our turnaround is very quick, and if you have a patron who's waiting for something particular, you know, there's no reason, you know, that you can't ask us to ship on your behalf. We circulate about 100,000 titles a year as far as ILL circulation. We also have some special collections, and, you know, for those patrons who have, you know, they might be studying a foreign language, or maybe English is not their first language, you know, please consider the BRF collection, foreign language collections. We still have the analog RCF collection. We're working with David Fernandez Barriel regarding the DBF collection now. But those BRFs and the BRA collections are really unique, and they're sitting on the shelves waiting to circulate to your patrons. Our duplication, obviously with BARD-only books, we're getting more and more books that we need to duplicate, and we duplicate about 30,000 cartridges a year. And we're very, again, customer friendly. So if you need multiple copies of the same title, if you need perms, if you need, you know, really whatever you need, you put the request online, and our turnaround for duplication is usually the next day, maybe 2 days. So it's fairly quick. We use Gutenberg, and we're also involved with converting the RCF collection to DBF titles to be posted on BARD. Our materials management, we have a lot of square feet dedicated to all the materials that you need. And if you place something on WOW, they'll go out in the next day or two, whether it's batteries, posters, alphabet cards, etc. If we do not have a particular item, we'll check with the West. And there are some items sometimes that may be on WOW, but NLS has asked us not to ship or ration them. Barcode labels, you know, I know people say we really could use a lot more, but we're directed to ship maybe 50 at a time. So if you find yourself in a tight spot, I would just refer you to your network liaison that way. Same thing with the recall boxes. We may have recall boxes on our floor, but NLS, you know, studies that and evaluates that and directs us to, you know, ship so many at certain specific times. So if you call us, you know, we'll direct you to your network liaison for that. Thinking about multi-state QA, many, if not all of you, have been involved with the pilot project and have DBCs now on BARD. Chris Mundy is at the Multi-State Center East. He has the best job in the world. He, you know, reads your books and magazines and so forth. And he's on the agenda on Thursday. So if you can stay, it's really a phenomenal presentation. And finally, the currency reader. We are really pleased to add this to our services. Essentially, National Library Service, as you know, and the Bureau of Engraving and Printing entered into an agreement for the distribution of currency readers. So the multi-state has inventory of these units, and we ship to the patrons directly. And I have to say, this project, from my perspective in multi-state, is just going really smoothly. And the people at Bureau of Engraving are just delightful and very nice to work with. And the new hires at NLS, too, they've just been a real addition to our service. So thank you. And let me introduce you to Joe Ballard.
So she said about everything I could think of to say. And I wasn't really prepared because I wasn't even on the agenda. But probably the biggest thing that we do that East doesn't take care of is machines. And we're doing the ongoing program with DA machines versus DS1s, getting the DA1s repaired, getting new batteries put in them. And those are also being rationed and checked by Shauna Osborne at NLS. So sometimes you may ask for a certain amount of machines, especially the DSAs, and we only send you half your order. They're trying to ration it out to see how long we can stretch it out before we change to other machines in the future. There is a possibility, and I don't want to start a rumor, but there is a chance that they might change some DS1s to be a DA machine. And so that's being looked at, but I don't know what the progress is on that. But like a lot of things she was talking about, whenever you get something ordered and then you don't get what you want, by all means call me, let me know in case we've made a mistake, but I'll probably refer you to Shauna on the restricted items. And we do try to ship out things as quickly as possible, and like her, we're next day by noon usually, but there is a little bit of delay on the mail service since we don't pay postage. So let us know if there's anything we can do to help you out, and that's what I'm here for, is to learn what your guys' needs are, what are the things we haven't been providing the way you'd like to have it provided, and see if I can't make some adjustments for that. That's all I got.
The present, the past, and the future walk into a bar. It was tense. That kind of crap. Hard room. Boy.
More.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about a couple of things Karen mentioned this morning. The text-to-speech pilot, for instance, that did come up. We had talked to some libraries the end of last year about a pilot project, and They were very cooperative and were ready to go, and it turned out that we ran into some problems converting books that we did not anticipate. And the software has kept breaking, and they keep fixing it, and it keeps breaking. So we're still in the process of resolving that problem. But once that's been done and once we've got 100 books available, we're going to make them available to those libraries, and then we'll then go to patrons and offer the material to them. We expect to do a pre-pilot survey to ask them about their use of synthetic speech and experience with it and knowledge of it. And then we will be, through the course of the pilot, we will be asking patrons to actually call a toll-free number and report on a book that they've read and give us basic information about that. And then there will be a post-pilot survey also to see what the reactions were to it. So we really don't have any preconceived notions about how well this is going to be accepted or how widely it will become available. But Karen also mentioned that we have access to electronic text of a great number of titles. And even doing 3,000 a year in audio and with the ones that the network provides us support in BARD, that's still just a drop in the bucket compared to what's available or what's really being printed every year. So if text-to-speech would work and would, some patrons would find it acceptable, it will expand exponentially the amount of material that they may well have access to. So we certainly feel it's worth exploring, although I'm with Karen. Our preference is human recorded speech and narration. R4R, recalling of digital books. We appreciate everyone's patience over the last year when we had the freeze on recall, and for the first 6 months of this year when about half the network was authorized to send in material they didn't get a chance to send in next year. In July, we expect to send out new new quantities of copies that can be sent in, and the multi-state centers will be directed to ship recall boxes to you based on your requests, based on the amount of books that you've been authorized to return during the last half of the year. Battery recycling. The network operations alert 1721 talked about battery recycling. As everybody here, I'm sure, is aware, the contractor that we have used for years in April began charging for boxes to recycle batteries. And they did it for a number of reasons. But we are certainly looking at ways to deal with that. But it's going to be sometime in 2018 before we have a solution. So your options are to, if you had any boxes that you had received from that contractor, you're still free to use them to send in batteries, or to use battery disposal sites at places like Best Buy or Home Depot. Don't take a truckload in, but you can just ease them in on the weekends and drop them off, or you can just hold them until we actually have a new process in place. So it's up to you based on what you have and what your needs are with batteries. Access continues for Braille books. So each month, each region has an opportunity to offer materials. And so over the course of a four-month cycle for the four conferences, every conference has three chances a year to offer books. And so we certainly encourage you to continue to do that. RC books, we stopped requiring them to go through Access last year, and libraries could just request mailing cards from NLS to get rid of RC collections. And for those of you that toured Lansing yesterday, you didn't see any green boxes. So they've done theirs. Libraries are at different stages of it. Some places there's more of a demand or more use by patrons than others. And we're certainly not telling you to get rid of material that is being used or is in use or in demand, but if you have cassette books that are excess to your needs, just request the cards from your network consultant, and we will send them to you, and you can actually ship the RCs off. One other thing, we announced this at the last conference, and we expected to have it out in documented form by now, but we didn't get there. But the Material Development Division has declared C1s obsolete, so there will be an operation alert coming out within the next few weeks that will basically provide the guidelines for getting rid of C1s that are excess to your needs. So, it's quite all right. I worked very hard on it. and those were the topics that I had.
Oh.
I could just interject, too, that Pamela Davenport is the network consultant for the West and for the Midlands, and Mary Beth Wise is the network consultant for the North and the South. Mary Beth is currently on a detail, but she will be back at NLS in July, so she sends her greetings, but couldn't be here for this conference, so that when you hear that you should contact your NLS liaison, that means your network consultant. And of course, if they're not available, hopefully I would be available to answer any questions that you might have or any emails that you might have.
Okay. Oh, Gordon.
Yeah. Is there any plans to start doing excess to DBs? Because this time to pile up. Really starting to pile up.
In July, you'll get a new quantity of DBs that you can get rid of.
Right, but that's only a few thousand. I'm talking about, you know, big weeding out of the DBs. Because they've been around for years, and we're getting, you know, 10 to 12 copies, and they've been sitting there for a long time.
Cut back your copies. No, we're not going to destroy them. We're still buying more cartridges. We'll get rid of them. Hopefully, the contract's going to be upgraded to actually do more excess. So we'll have to continue using those at least for what, next 10 years, until while they're still reusable. But you know, we understand there is a problem. There was a contract problem with the materials development. So they'll be working on that, Gordon. But they're not going to access them right now. You mean just recycle them?
Oh, yeah, we can certainly do that.
But yeah. Sure. We might have a solution. We're working on that. We'll see.
Yeah, it's just that as time goes by, you know, they'll build up in quantity, and we're not reading the collection to, you know, keep the thing shifting.
Yeah. No, but I think that's been brought up at the last in Santa Fe and here also. And hopefully we're going to resolve it within, or at least a short term in June.
Sure.
And Michael Katzman is out there, and he's actually contracting to maybe get additional recyclers together to get more of them in the process. Oh, no problem. Okay. Well, I'm having a wonderful conference. Yesterday I had a tour of Ann Arbor. I mean, not Lansing, right? Went up there, 1 hour up and 1 hour back. Abby Reimel was there from Wolfner, Missouri, and we talked about old times, and she's under strict orders not to mention the fool I made of myself on the last day when I left Missouri. So don't ask her that question, okay? But up there we also saw, Andrew showed us duplication or random shelving. And that was unique, the way they're implemented random shelving up there. He's very proud of it. And I did want, I was curious because he copied Texas random shelving, and he also told me, Andrew, right? You said it may not be exactly the way Texas did random shelving.
It's similar, but it was basically the same, pretty good
idea. A variety, yeah. Your idea. And I just, it's curious because we had random shelving in Missouri, but our random shelving was completely different than Texas random shelving, and our random shelving was completely different than what Andrew is doing in Michigan, or up the middle of the state here. And Missouri's random shelving, I think, McTaughey could mention it. Missouri's random shelving is different than Illinois, which is the Keystone system, is different than Illinois' random shelving and different than every other Keystone library's random shelving. So what we call random shelving is working because the books are shelved randomly, but the definition of it is different between each library and a lot of variation. And that's also, I think, going to happen with duplication on demand. What we're calling duplication on demand, I think everyone has a different definition of it. I was going to give us a demonstration. We saw it in Santa Fe, excellent duplication on demand system, and we're going to implement it also at NLS with the Web Reads Library, and that's what we're doing. Michael Katzman, he's taking the idea he had for when he was forced to do it with magazines. Instead of one magazine, one cartridge, he was forced to put multiple magazines on one cartridge and distribute them that way because of the cost of the cartridge. He just took that idea and expanded it up to circulation on books. Why circulate one book, one cartridge, when you can actually circulate multiple books on one cartridge? And we're going to do that with the Web Reads libraries and the six libraries. I think some of them are here. North Dakota, Arkansas, the D.C., Washington, D.C. library. The two Virginia libraries will participate in the pilot of duplication on demand in Kentucky. So these are the libraries that will be Web Reads libraries participating. Again, we're excited because, just like Iowa will mention, the entire collection becomes available, not just physical copies of books you have. You'll be able to put multiple books on one cartridge so that you don't have to, the circulation should drop as you have more books going out, but more on fewer cartridges going out. Will save you space and time and effort. Again, that's the idea of doing it with our Web Reads library. And the nice thing with, unlike other libraries that may be doing it, this will actually connect because of what? Application programming interfaces, APIs. That's a machine talking to another machine. And this will allow our system, PIMS, to talk with the Web Reads automated system through API so that the duplication on demand is actually working with the circulation system, Web Reads, to enable the multiple books to be circulated. And like I said, I was actually doing that, so we're kind of following up behind them. But in addition to getting those programs up and running on duplication on demand, just to see how it works, to really improve the APIs, the programming. If there's a bug or a problem, we'll redo it. But also, because the APIs are there, other systems like other circulation systems could use those APIs with the PIMS programming to implement it into their circulation systems. So that's what he's doing. I think he's already set it up in the D.C. Public Library. We're waiting for some supplies. Once D.C. they'll get D.C. up and running. I think the Virginia, they expect to take a team down to Virginia to help them install some of the programming. And I think we'll be really piloting them over the summer and see if it works. And we're hoping good results. And by the national conference, you'll get a more presentations, duplication on what we call duplication on demand with Web Reads libraries. But I also believe those six libraries will have all type of variations because NLS is not the expert in it. It's the local libraries that will be doing the duplication on demand. And I think we were on the phone with them, and they said, are you going to give us step-by-step instructions on how to do duplication on demands with the Web Reads libraries? And we're going, you know, that's why you're the pilot. You're going to be doing step, you're going to tell us step-by-step directions. And I suspect the D.C. library compared to North Dakota and Arkansas, Kentucky and Virginia will all have variations of duplication on demand. So it's just an exciting time. And I just thought I'd give you a report on that. I think, Neil, will you be doing more of the technical with your presentation later? Yeah, I didn't know how much you were getting into that, but well, and that's temporary, because what are we going to be doing in the future? We'll be sending books directly out, and again, and this will all be, this is the paradigm shift Karen mentioned. NLS does not circulate the 21 million books to all of our patrons around the country. It's network libraries do that. Through the Postal Service. Now you'll be able to do a duplication on demand as an option if you want to. And if not, down the road, it's going to be directly onto a machine. And that's what we're working on now with the wireless delivery mobile virtual network enabler. You know, we're working on that. That's basically it's a provider, you know, instead of going to Verizon or Sprint or T-Mobile, we hired one company, or we didn't hire them. What did we do? We contracted them, and they won the contract, and they're the mobile and virtual network enabler, and they're testing on the delivery of books. We know no books could come over the internet. You get your cell phone out and use the BARD app, right? But that's you going to get the book. Now we're going to be testing of whether or not we can send a book to a patron. And, of course, eventually we'll have to go through the circulation systems. That's why that API working with the download is so important, because those same APIs will help us connect with systems for us to deliver books to people. And we have we're testing, what's the name of the machine?
The cartridge hub are you talking about?
Again, we're designing that with our engineering section and John Brown with Artera, the MVNE provider, and we're testing already with 24 pilot testers in NLS how that will happen. And after the pilot test, we'll go nationwide and get more information out there. So we're looking to the future with wireless delivery. I also wanted to mention that indeed VEP and the currency reader distribution is now under the network division. That happened last summer, so we're in charge of the currency reader being sent out. So I do have a question from Pat on the currency reader. That's one of the many questions I'll go back with. But now I think Carter, we have four employees now in the network division. We're going to add two more for distribution of the currency reader out of the network division. The two questions I had were the currency reader from Pat of Philadelphia and Amish Braille from Pat of Philadelphia. So basically I have two questions to go back with NLS to answer. I expect over the next day or two to get a few more from everyone else. And that was my presentation. So, Steve mentioned the Library of the Year. The Washington State Talking Book and Braille Library won the Library of the Year this year. We're doing an outstanding job. And the nice thing is the representative from Congress walked across the street. Oh yeah, walked across the street to the Jefferson City building during the award and gave a very nice presentation. And that was with Danielle and Cindy, the state librarian, aware of that. So when the state when the congresswoman walked in, they were all taken aback and photo shots. And that was really nice to have the congressperson walk in during the award ceremony. And that's what I had to say. So we have 15 minutes, I think, for questions.
At least we're hoping that you have questions. We're thinking that we touched on some of the current topics, but there might be other topics that are on your mind that we really haven't mentioned. So, you know, please use this opportunity to ask your questions.
And if you don't have questions, we're going to ask them of you.
Yes, Mark.
Hello.
Hey, Steve. Can you just tell us when you're when do you expect to do the text-to-speech pilot again, or when you're going to restart that? We are one of the pilot libraries.
Yes, you are, and you will be notified. Believe it or not.
All right. I don't think there are any more questions.
Excellent answer, Steve. I like that. Yeah. That was good.
Yeah. So, Mark, are you ready to participate in the text-to-speech pilot when we're ready to start?
Yeah, you'll be notified.
Oh, thank you.
Hello. Sorry. Hi, I'm Beth from the Washington Library for the Blind and Physically Disabled. I just wondered if there's going to be any change to the delinquency, the magazines on cartridge delinquent notifications that we receive. There have been a number. There's quite a few in our district that are either deceased or there's a lot of, they're not, the items aren't coming back. So mm-hmm. I just wonder if we can clear that
right.
list somehow.
Well, let me just mention that with the MOC, you can contact your network consultant. And what we can do is to look at the particular record, and let's say the person has four or five items overdue. They're not going to come off from the delinquency list until we go in, raise that quota, and we do have to do that at NLS. Then you can go in and actually mark those as lost. That would bring the person off the delinquency list. The important thing is that your database is correct so that that account won't simply reactivate. In other words, you don't want to take somebody who's deceased, but if they aren't marked as deceased yet in your system, and start them up for magazines again by taking them off the delinquency list. So the important thing is that your database is accurate, and that when you look at the PIMS record, they're no longer active in the MOC. And so that when we take those lost cartridges off, it will not reactivate them. It will simply take them off the delinquency list. The other thing that I would just mention, too, is if you're having any difficulty stopping an MOC through your system, because there is still somewhat of a batch process, we would really encourage you to go in and put a temporary stop on that MOC subscription. And sometimes we make those temporary stops go to 2099 if we know that maybe it might take a while to get that particular issue resolved. So putting a temporary stop on is a good thing to do for something that would happen immediately, because if you go through the system and there's still a little bit of a batch process, another magazine could go out. So you have that ability to put that temporary stop on and be sure that tomorrow, when if that magazine comes up, it doesn't simply go right out the door. Question, Chris?
We have the power to, we have the ability to fix things that are going on wrong with Mock, but I don't know how widespread this problem is, but Maine has had some issues with talking book topics, large print, and Braille subscriptions. And all we can do is try to figure out who to beg to make it stop. So is there any...
Well, we're the ones that you should
I understand,
let
but
us
is there,
know.
Is there any possibility that we might have control over the, over those subscriptions just like we currently do with magazines on cartridge?
Well, you should... Theoretically, it works through your circulation control system, but we know that sometimes it is not working as effectively as it should. So if you alert us to a particular one, we do try and take care of it. And then you have to let us know if it didn't get fixed. But we will try to fix those individually.
So we're never going to control anything other than the magazines on cartridge?
Well, never is a long time. I mean, who knows what the future might hold. But we're certainly concerned about patron satisfaction, and we're certainly concerned about patron services, so we really want to step in to start or stop magazines as needed. Question, Mark?
Yes. I was wondering, with the radio, TV, and internet spots, how people will get in touch with
anybody for more information? In other words, will if it's regionalized, if it plays in Pittsburgh, will they be referred to the Pittsburgh Regional Library, or is there a general number they'll have to call?
It'll be the 800 number, so it'll operate, I believe, like Helen, in that when that 800 number comes in, they'll determine where it's coming from, and the notification will go to the correct library.
Oh, okay, great.
That's
Thank
the
you.
Plan, anyway.
Yeah, different sections of the country will have different 800 numbers, but they'll all feed into just one. But that allows the contractor to know where the question, where the inquiries are coming from, or which ad they actually saw.
And it may be a good thought for you to try the 800 number, just so you see for yourself that it does come to your state.
Good idea.
I did that, and I just thought it was cool.
Did you tell yourself you're not eligible?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, four of us up here have been regional librarians, so, you know, we've sat in your seats. We know that these issues come up, so we're familiar with the various challenges of being a regional service.
Yep. And the thing we've learned is that the problems of a regional librarian are nothing compared to the problems caused by regional librarians.
Any other questions or comments?
To that point, what are you going to do about cell phone numbers? For instance, I'm a regional librarian for Maryland, but my cell phone number will always be a Vermont number because of the way it got set up.
That's an interesting, I'm in the same situation. That's interesting. So I guess what could happen is that the wrong library might be notified and might have to send that on to the next library.
So we should be kind to each other.
Yes, yes. Work cooperatively on this. Yeah, that is an interesting reality. Good point, Leslie. I still have my Pennsylvania one. Any other questions?
Well, everyone could stand up for 10 minutes and come back for Europe.
You know, and we're here, you know, from now till the end of the conference. So if you have questions, sometimes you prefer to talk to us individually, and we would certainly encourage you to do that. So we're glad everybody could be here.
Thank you.